Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This,
aham, I, mama, mine,
Indeed.
Thus.
The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Therefore, sex serves as a natural attraction between man and woman. And when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridayagranthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo. Even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of Vanashrama or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor, unfortunately, identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Samhita, it is stated, Brahmadya yagyavankadya mitmuchyante sri sahayinaha bodhyante ke chanai te sham visesham cha vidovidahu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. Om Jnana Timinam Dasya Ganashana Samakaya Chakshur Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stantam Tena Bhutale Svayarupa Kadamahayam Tirati Svabhadantikam Mukam Taroti Vachalam Pangunam Gayati Ganinyakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Sri Guru, what's the next one? Devatarana. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, you chant something every day all of your life and then. For me comes memory, knowledge and forgetfulness. Yeah, that's it. Savasyachaham vidisanivisto, etc. I'm just tired, that's all. Okay, so this section of the Bhagavad Gita is just power-packed messages. Instructions and some very, very famous verses here. And the Bhagavad Gita Rishabhaya is talking about the most basic of material attractions. which keeps the living entity bound to fruitive activities and to try to enjoy the material creation. So, sex life is the, what God says here, the natural attraction between man and woman. This is the natural attraction. You know, opposites attract. Usually, opposites attract. Like repels. A young man and a young woman,
or even an old man and an old woman,
when they're attracted to each other, then the consummation of that relationship is formalized in marriage. The relationship is authorized or even sanctified by the process of marriage. You know, there are 10 samskaras that punctuate the various passages of life, and the samskaras are designed to impress upon the consciousness of the those who are involved of the real purpose of life. That there is there is a purpose, and that purpose is to come to the point of self-realization. And so therefore the marriage ceremony is performed to remind the couple of the sanctity of human existence, and that the real purpose of life is not to enjoy material pleasures, although material pleasures come and go, and that is part of existence, but rather that one should remember that the purpose of life is not wholly and solely for material pursuits, but rather, and the Mahashram system is designed in this way. Can you give me your first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, please? Thank you. Some interesting. The passing away of Bhishma Dev is an amazing chapter in the first canto. Chapter 9 of the first canto. Prabhupada makes a comment that the natural propensity to act can't be constrained. This is also the Bhagavad Gita. But by the process of devotional service, our natural inclinations can be purified by engagement in devotional service effectively. And you know, these rules and regulations of the Vana Ashram system are meant to gradually elevate a person to the point of understanding their relationship with Krishna. This is of prime importance. Sense gratification, of which sex life is kind of like the symbol of the emblem. Even though it is entangling it still can be utilized for the purpose of self-realization. Right? And the majority of individuals will be married. This is just a reality, because that attraction between a man and a woman is so strong and prominent in existence, in life. So there's a natural attraction. It starts in primary school. We used to play, a teacher that spends time with Mandu and Ricky, and they tell her, "Oh, there's this boy," and I hate it, right? But rejection is often the opposite side of, not rejection, but renunciation and attraction are two sides of the coin of attachment. And so that even at a very young age, in primary school, these things pop up, just naturally. Nobody knows where it comes from, and then by the time they're 15 or 16 or 18 or 20 or 21, the remembrance given by Krishna, it comes up in the heart. You don't know where it comes from, and all of a sudden, one's affected very strongly by the pull caused by the material energy, the pull of attraction to the opposite sex. And of course, in this day and age, to make things more complicated, we see more prominently attraction to the same, and all other sorts of confusion. So this is a natural feature of material existence, that the senses are attracted to the objects of the senses. But the whole purpose of the Varnashram system is to take that natural affinity, and then through the process of the various samskaras, marriage in particular in this case, and the reminder, this is why the association of, and this is mentioned previously in one of the previous verses, asatsanga is the danger of bad association is underlined, and the importance of having the association of the devotees to remind one continuously about the purpose of life is part of this process. One comes into the association of the devotees, and even though there may be an inclination for material enjoyment, the association of the devotees reminds us that the real purpose of life is to please Krishna, to work for Krishna's purposes, and that the facilities of sense gratification are engaged according to the rules and regulations of the regulated principles, effectively. This is why we have the four rules. By tempering our material proclivities and controlling the mind and the senses by engaging them in positive activities in connection with Krishna and in connection with devotional service, then our natural propensities to act will be purified, and the activities of the mind and the senses are then fully engaged in devotional service, and by that engagement in devotional service, then by achieving a higher taste, one is able to control the sensual proclivities, or the sensual, the pushings. Vajra vegam, manasakroga vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. So these pushings are natural to the living entity. And you can't get rid of them. It's very difficult these are natural features of a person's meditation, and not easy to suppress. You know, sometimes you see the devotees chanting japa, or sometimes we do it ourselves, but there's this big struggle going. You can see this big struggle of the mind, the senses in the heart of the devotee, you can see it. That's why, you know, we're recommended when we're chanting japa. Not easy, not to meditate on what's going on within the mind and what's going on within the heart, but rather in chanting Hare Krishna, we listen to the sound vibration of the mantra. And then gradually, by absorption in that all-attractive sound vibration, the whirlpool of the mind is gradually calmed. And Prabhupada gives the example of how chanting, when performed properly, it's like if you have a pool of water and you get a stick and you just stir it up, stir up all the stuff on the bottom, and then the water becomes completely opaque. Right? You can't see it. You can't really get what's going on. Especially when the mind's swirling and there's all sorts of things floating around in it, then it's very difficult to be peaceful. But if we just sit down and chant Hare Krishna and absorb our attention in the Maha Mantra, then gradually all of the whirling, the whirlwind of the mind is gradually settled. And then one's able to see things from a clear perspective. Chanting Hare Krishna is very powerful. We get married. Well, first of all, there's the attraction. We get married, and then in that situation, everything becomes, or Prabhupada says here, their relationship becomes more involved. Very complicated. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Vridhaya Bhakti. The knot of the hearts, Ahu, they call. And then after that comes home, property, children, relatives, wealth. So in this way, life becomes very complicated. And Prabhupada points out here, thus a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. Don't be attached to them. It's all temporary. But tell that to the family man and the family woman. It's okay to theoretically say, you're not the body. Or, you shouldn't be so attached to your wife, or your children, or to your money, or to your property. But these items become a continuous meditation for the household. And even though we may theoretically say, it's all temporary, but it's still, a significant. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says these are a source of natural attraction or natural affection. Right? And so, and you know, we've seen the consequences where a premature renunciation of these things ends up, you know, being a disaster because of that strong affection. It's a riddhi, it's a strong knot within the heart. Of course, what does the Bhagavad Gita say? How do we solve this knot? What's the Bhagavad Gita solution for solving the knot? You know? Remember? What's the solution? We slash the knot with spiritual knowledge. What? Where is that? In the index. Probably not. K for not. This is the English language again, right? K for not. 1, 2, 21. Divinity and Divine Service, yeah, that's it. Srimatam Svarakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, right? Which is what we're doing. Nashta Prayesha Babandreshu Nitya Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Yeah. As soon as your irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and anger, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Here it is. Vidyate. Vidyate vidaya grantis. Chidyante sada samsayaha. Chiyante chasya kamane drishta eva anishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced. That's that? Srimadam Svarakata, regularly hearing and chanting. Right? And all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruited actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Right? And that's the importance of chanting Hare Krishna regularly. It's the importance of hearing the Bhagavad Gita regularly. It's the importance of having the association of the devotees regularly, because in the association of devotees, this is what we do. Srimadam Svarakata Krishna, Purna Shravana Kirtana. We hear Bhagavani, the inauspicious things within the heart are destroyed by the the regulated process of bhakti, beginning with hearing and chanting. So, this is a natural affinity, natural attraction, which leads to complicated life. But still, most of us have to do that. Right? And the purification of the heart takes place gradually by the process of bhakti. And so, it's recommended, especially for the householders, that one should go through the process of, you know, the Varnashram system. I've mentioned this before, but it is interesting, in the beginning of the Isopanishad, Srila Prabhupada says that we are actually Varnashram, we are the followers of Varnashram. Very interesting in his definition of what a devotee is. He says, the devotees are the followers of Varnashram. As opposed to being a Hindu, whatever a Hindu might be. Prabhupada says, we're actually followers of Varna and Ashram. And the reason why, what is it, Varna, Ashram, Charapata, I can't remember the next explain, but basically it's meant for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. So everything that a person does, even marriage, or even as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sex life, performed according to religious principles, that I am. So the whole idea of the Varnashram system is to regulate people's lives in such a way so that there's a gradual, steady purification of heart. And it takes place steady, steady, steady over time. Not just that, you know, although here the Bhagavatam says that's quite possible. It certainly is possible and doable. But for most people, you know, that instantaneous flash of self-realization takes time. It doesn't happen just... Or, you know, we wake up one day, we chant good rounds, we go to the program, we hear the Bhagavatam intently, you know, and then the next day it's 4 o'clock and we go, oh, no, I'm too tired. Right, so, you know, these principles need to be applied steadily and over time to get the full result. In rare cases, yes, a person may become self-realized instantaneously, but on the whole, for most, it's a gradual process. And so therefore we find within our application of Varna and Ashrama, we encourage most, because of this natural propensity, we encourage most men and women to get married. Right? And then that, instead of being agitated by that attraction is satisfied, and to mitigate, you know, the complications of that attraction and you know, the involvement of children, relatives, home, property, wealth, one engages in the practice of sadhana bhakti. And that purifies the ashram, it purifies the occupation. And everybody pretty much is engaged in or sheltered by an ashram. There's a brahmachari ashram for training and development. Then there's the grihastha ashram for most, which is household life, but according then to regulated principles. And so the primary result of the household ashram is not entanglement, ahamamete, but the process of bhakti, as we read in the second chapter, it's actually purification. Bijjate yudaya kantis, the knot in the heart is cut by the process of bhakti, hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, etc. So, we're encouraged to be regular sadhakas. Nitya Seva, by hearing and chanting effectively. That's our main process, as well as, you know, serving the deities, serving the devotees, and in ISKCON, preaching. These are our activities effectively. In the mornings and in the evenings, we dedicate ourselves to sadhana. In the daytime, we're engaged in our occupational duties, which are generally connected to the ashram. And our extracurricular activities, if you like, you know, we have the basic, you know, sadhana and the basic occupational duties. But then our obligation is to Srila Prabhupada and our family business, and that means preaching, book distribution, Harinam, prasadam distribution, And none of these activities should be seen as material. Even the household life, if it is done for the support of the family, but in the context of sadhana bhakti, then those activities are purifying. And so that, in that way, Prabhupada mentions, all ashrams are a place of spiritual pursuit, or should be. Even the household ashram, there may be activities, going to work, you know, looking after the children, but the focus of those activities should ultimately be in coming to Krishna consciousness. And so consequently then the result is not tightening the knot, but rather loosening the knot of material attraction and material affection. Or seeing those relationships properly in connection with Krishna. So this is why the activities of the devotees, even though they may appear to be the same as the materialists, because Krishna is the focus, they're actually not. Just like Krishna appears in the material world and performs pastimes as if he was a human being. Right? When Bhishma Deva was lying on his bed of arrows prior to his departure, when the sun moved from the south to the north, sometime after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I think it's late January, or maybe mid-January, but the sun starts moving back to the north, right? And so that's considered the auspicious time to leave your body. So Bhishma Deva was waiting for that auspicious time because he could leave his body at will or at his choice. But he was still lying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna came with the Pandavas. Well, Krishna arranged it so that Yudhisthira was feeling very remorseful and very disturbed that so many people had died just so he could be the king. Right? He was very upset about that. So Krishna made the arrangement so that everybody went to see their grandfather, Bhishma Dev. And of course, then Bhishma Dev asked so many questions of Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev was able to enlighten him, to preach to him. And in the instructions that he gave, he pointed out how Krishna was bewildering everybody by appearing as their friend, as their cousin, as their king, etc. So he appears to be acting just like an ordinary human being, but his activities are not. They're purely on the transcendental platform. So similarly also, the devotees who are serving Krishna, especially the households, they're serving Krishna by maintaining their own Krishna consciousness, by supporting and facilitating the Krishna consciousness of their families, and also when they're preaching, bringing others to Krishna consciousness, then those activities, the activities of the devotee, even though they appear to be They are not. Their activities are on the spiritual platform. And so, Prabhupada makes this point that all of the ashramas are spiritual by nature because their focus is on ultimately coming to the point of self-realization. There are so many other activities that we need to perform as part of our vana and ashram dharma. But those activities support the sanatana dharma of service to Krishna, even in the material world, and even in separation. There's an amazing thing about bhakti yoga. You don't have, we don't have to be great personalities. In fact, actually, most devotees are the great personalities, the Mahatmas. Because even though they're performing activities like, you know, sleeping, eating, even family life, protection of the household, because the focus of those activities, or the purpose of those activities, is to take shelter of Krishna, and so therefore the result is a spiritual pursuit. And this was recommended in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada and Sukadeva Goswami and the other speakers recommend we keep our activities of maintenance of the body to a minimum, right? So the maximum amount of time can be put into devotional practice and devotional service. So Prabhupada makes the point, you know, that working to support our material pursuits should be just enough to maintain body and soul together. That's all we need to do. Otherwise, you know, the complication of material existence will crowd out our focus and attention on our spiritual activities. But the activities of those devotees who are keeping their maintenance at a minimum, but are focusing most of their time in spiritual pursuits, then those activities are not material. Even the so-called material activities are not material because they're supporting devotional practice. So we need to take Rishabhdev's instructions seriously, because there's a warning here. The complications of marriage and you know, the complications of this attraction between man and woman, which is natural, have to be managed or mitigated by the process of sadhana bhakti. Or Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes sadhachara. There are rules and regulations recommended for the devotees, regardless of what ashram we happen to be in. Some are accentuated more strongly than others. So for the household, what are the two activities that Prabhupada recommends for the householders? What's the first one? Yes, but not the top. The top two qualities that are recommended for the householders. Do you remember? Sense control, right, and giving in charity. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says this is it. And you'd think sense control should be for the sannyasis. But sense control is actually most important for the householder, because sannyasi naturally sense control. But if it's a sannyasi, study and preaching effectively. So, and of course all of the other recommendations need to be followed. That way then, one can make a success, even in household life, right? It can be very complicated, it can be very entangling, it can be involved, as Prabhupada says here. But when it's performed with the goal inside of becoming Krishna conscious, and following the recommendations, the sadhachara, for each of the ashrams, especially for the household ashram, then it's interesting. What does Prabhupada say here at the end of the purport? He says, sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. Right? In the right mentality and the right framing of existence, framing of life, according to the Bhakti Yoga process, then instead of the husband and wife become, and the children become a source of entanglement, they become a source of liberation. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, still another warning, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. But it doesn't have to be like that. The process of bhakti yoga, and of course, and that's why Prabhupada, you know, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, in the beginning of his preaching at 26 Second Avenue, you know, Prabhupada started Kirtan. He started the Sunday feast. Even later on in New York, Srila Prabhupada established book distribution. But he also, noticing that, you know, there were somewhat casual relationships between his disciples, Prabhupada very early on, brought in the institution of marriage. Marriage according to spiritual principles. So, that way then, you know, what would ordinarily be entangling, a source of inconvenience, of course, which it still is, will be mitigated by the engagement of the householders in the process of bhakti under the guidance of the, you know, the Vana and Ashram rules, Vana and Ashram rules, and principally the sadhachar of bhakti yoga. So then that propensity to think I am mine is purified. Instead of a hama menti, it is a hum brahmasmi, I'm spiritual by nature. My family is spiritual by nature. And we exhibit or we manifest that spirituality in our service to Krishna. And that's why charity is very important for the householders, because, you know, the household are generally working very hard to accumulate wealth, maintain the family and the children, which is fine, perfectly okay. But also the recommendation is to give in charity. And so that those activities, and Prabhupada says, you know, the householders are encouraged to give 50% of their earnings or wealth to the cause of Krishna consciousness. And so that way then our activity is purified by that giving of charity. And then that's then, you know, in appreciation of the fact that, you know, everything belongs to Krishna ultimately. And also this, you know, you can't hang on to your money. You can't. Better give it to Krishna so that it is spent for the benefit of everybody. Otherwise, who knows what your children are going to do with your money later on. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Any realizations?
So, even though it is mentioned here, like the Vidyagrantin, how the Punsa Sevanin, how, as you mentioned before, but for most of the people, it is necessary.
In general.
Yeah.
Say that again. vote for the edification of the audience.
So as it is mentioned, there is a for the male and female there is this mitum bhavanam, it's a Hriday Granthim. And for most of the people in today's world,
yes, yeah,
as I mentioned before, yeah, it is necessary,
yes,
for the establishment, yes, of one master.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be a disturbance.
Yes, and you know, you can see how how much Srila Prabhupada valued the Grihastha Ashram. Even though he was a sannyasi himself, he appreciated the potency of his household disciples and their ability to preach. And so even though the basis of those relationships are dependent on the on that material relationship, if you like, Prabhupada saw the spiritual potency of those devotees' engagement in Krishna consciousness and their engagement in preaching, especially. And so he married his disciples, or if they weren't already married, he encouraged those relationships. And, you know, we see that the fruits of those devotees. So even though there was a material attraction, so-called, right, and they were married, Prabhupada didn't see that as an impediment to their Krishna consciousness. In fact, he saw the potency of harnessing that those relationships, encouraging those devotees to preach, and their preaching was very successful. And you know, when Mukunda and Janaki and Gurudas and Jamuna and Shamsundara and Malati established a temple in London, Prabhupada was extremely proud of those devotees' efforts. Right? So, yes, the attraction and the attachment is there. And so therefore we encourage marriage. But you add the Krishna consciousness, you add Krishna consciousness to that, and you get spiritual, not material. That's the idea. So, does that answer your question?
Basically, because today we see many people like to live without committing anything, without any responsibilities. So it's better.
Yeah, but no responsibility to Krishna consciousness either.
Yeah.
Or you mean they just live together without getting married?
Without being married.
Well, you can see Prabhupada counteracted that effectively. If people became attracted to Krishna consciousness, he will encourage them to get married. I think the thing is, we encourage Krishna consciousness, and then automatically that will manifest in due course of time. Yeah. So, you know, in one sense, there's, if you're a sadhaka and you follow the Varnashrama rules effectively and the sadhachara, then you'll make spiritual advancement. And that's why we encourage everybody to stay in associations of the devotees. Because even in the association of the devotees, because the household life is so entangling, you know, we'll go through stages where we get a little bit bewildered. Right? But better to stay in the association of the devotees in any case, because they'll remind you, they'll remind us.
I love Jago.
wake up.
Right? So, and you can see we're primarily a household of movement. Right? And so we can't denigrate, which used to happen in ISKCON. The householders would be denigrated by the renunciates. Right? Of course, those renunciates wasn't long before they became householders. Right? So the real, you know, the realism of the reality of material existence and the balance or the purification of that by Krishna consciousness is primarily done in the household ashram for most people. Not all. And so, and we wish, like Prabhupada says, all the ashrams are equal because they're all places where the pursuit of spiritual life is topmost. Right? And so therefore honoured by everyone. But the sannyasi ashram is given more respect because of a higher degree of renunciation. But the ashram itself, or each of the ashrams, is a springboard into spiritual life. Even household ashram. But the warning here from Rishabdev and from the, you know, the great saints is about the engagement in household life from a materialistic perspective, right? And the dangers of ahamamiti, that entanglement without any spiritual basis of discrimination, right? It's, I think it's described, isn't it? Maybe coming up, or it's already been described, it's like falling into a well, right? Now in Australia we don't see wells very often, and stories of people falling into wells is pretty few and far between. The Prabhupada makes this point using an analogy in say Bengal, where there's wells dug all over the place, right? Because water is pretty much what, 10 feet below the surface, or five, you know. Deep in the fine water, right? But there are wells that have been dug and then abandoned, the jungle grows over, you can't see it, you fall in, you're done. You could be calling out for help and no one will hear you. So that's an example of Prabhupada gives, or the Sundays give. But that's for the materialistic people, right? Even when we find descriptions of, you know, the lacking in qualifications of the sutras, the lacking in qualification of women, the lacking in qualifications of the dvija bandhus in the shastra, right? But if a person out of those categories becomes a devotee, then all of that's completely, you know, it's completely discounted. And the fact that the person is a sadhaka, a practicing devotee, then that puts them on the path of perfection, effectively. Right? So even in a household life, if one is a practicing sadhaka, and we know what, you know, 16 rounds, following the principles and so forth, and that devotee is going to make a success of their life and not be caught up and bound up. Well, in due course of time. And you know, there'll be affection for the wife, affection for the children. Well, you have affection for your wife. Well, any husband who says he doesn't is a liar. Right? And the children, how can you not have affection for your children? How can you not have affection for your friends? Even in Krishna consciousness, you may be Krishna conscious, but if you don't have any friends, how do you feel? Okay, let's finish, shall we? Bhagavad Gita, 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 Bhagavad